This is Pure Opelka
with Mike Opelka,
only on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, this is Yaron Brooks filling in for Mike Opelka, and we're in the final hour of today's show. And we've got Jonathan on the line, and I'll get you, Jonathan, promise. But I want to talk a little bit about Trump's speech from last night about Afghanistan as an illustration for some of the things we've been talking about, because I thought that the speech was the best speech I've ever heard Trump give, on the one hand, and yet an example of why this country is heading in the wrong direction and why we are losing the war on Islamic terrorism, why the jihadis are winning, why we have no strategy, completely unfocused, it's disintegrated. It's borderline dishonest, is the kind of assessment we heard yesterday about Afghanistan. So we were told yesterday that Afghanistan is getting worse. There are more terror organizations in Afghanistan now than there were maybe ever. There's more hostility towards the United States and from groups in Afghanistan and in Pakistan than ever before, in spite of the fact that we've been fighting a war there for 16 years, the longest war in American history. And that the solution for all this, the solution for victory is, we're not going to tell you, we're not going to leave. We're not going to leave Afghanistan, that's for sure. And we're not going to tell you what the solution is, because that's strategy and it's secret, and we're going to tell you how we're going to. We heard a lot about victory. We're going to win. Bush said we're going to win. I mean, Obama kind of said we were going to win. Retreat with honor, you know, get out of there with honor after we crush the enemy. Never happened. Why do we think it's going to happen now? And nowhere in the speech yesterday were the real fundamental questions asked. The speech yesterday was completely rambling in the sense that, what is the issue? What is at stake here? I'm an individualist, right? I want the government to protect my life. Is Afghanistan a threat to my life? I think it probably is today, because it is a haven for all these terrorist organizations that would like to attack America and kill me and kill you. Okay, so let's describe the threat. Why are they so successful? Why are there so many of them over there? Why are they more now than they were before, in spite of the fact that America's been fighting this war for 16 years? Who funds this? Where does the money come from? Who inspires this? Is it the Afghan government? Is the problem in Afghanistan? Is that where they're generating the money? I mean, some of it is because they make money off of drugs, but is that it? Is that what's funding it? Why don't we just firebomb all of their, poppy fields? It can't be just that, because they get money from other sources. What are those other sources? What is the threat? Where does it really come from? I mean, that's a reasoned approach. Let's look at reality. Let's examine the facts, and let's come to conclusions based on those facts. We didn't get any of that. We got vague promises about this time we're going to win. Trust me, which is he didn't actually say it, but that was implied throughout the speech, which is a typical Trump line. Trust me. I'm not going to give you details on how I'm going to get there. Just trust me. Wishes over facts. Just what do we actually have to do? Now, there were some good things in the speech, I'll admit. There was a hint, non-explicit, that we might change our rules of engagement. That would be good. I'm all for that. There were hints that we're actually going to do the things necessary to win. I'm all for that. That's good. But I have argued from 9/11 till today that the war isn't in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is the middle of nowhere. These people wouldn't have the money, the resources, and the ideas to fight. If not for whom? If not for the countries really behind these terrorists, really behind the ideology of jihadism that is killing Westerners all over the world. I mean, we first have to face the facts, face reality, ask the questions about who these people really are. And when you do that, when you examine, when you look at the evidence, when you do the research, and Trump has a lot more information than I have. A lot more information than I have. Then what you discover is that these people are funded by the Saudis and by the Iranians. They're inspired by the Saudis and the Iranians. Pakistan plays a huge role here. And who supports Pakistan? Who funds all those schools and madrasas and mosques in Pakistan where these people get radicalized? Well, if you're Shiite, it's Iran. If you're Sunni, it's Saudi Arabia. How can you give a talk, a speech, like the president did yesterday, about winning the war in Afghanistan while ignoring the two elephants in the room, the two countries that support all the terrorist activities, all these organizations that are now living in Afghanistan? How can you do it without recognizing and identifying those countries? But exactly the opposite. This is, you know, completely ignore. This is left and right are doing this, right? We're going to evade. We're going to pretend this isn't a problem. Why? Because we're friends with the Saudis. Friends with people who want to kill us. Really? That's a great friendship. You should try that at a personal level sometime. I'm not friends with people who hate me. I'm not friends with people who go every Friday and say, death to Iran, death to Iran. But in the mosques in Saudi Arabia and in Iran, they preach death to America regularly. These are not our friends. These are enemies. And yet, we pretend because we prefer pretense over honesty, over reality, over facts, over rationally assessing the situation. We've been taught not to offend anybody. Well, unless you're Afghan, and Afghan's insignificant, but God forbid you should offend the Saudis. Saudis are important. So there's no honest discussion about these topics. And the president was not honest with the American people yesterday. He was not honest with the soldiers right in front of him, who he is going to send over there to fight for what? What interest does the United States have in Afghanistan, really? To destroy terrorists who might attack the U.S. in the future? If you want to do that, Afghanistan is not the place to start. Well, how about wiping out ISIS to begin with? How about stopping the Saudis and the Iranians from funding these groups and supporting these groups and giving them intelligence and promoting this ideology? The fact is today that Sunni Shiite doesn't matter. The Iranians are all over Afghanistan. They're the ones supporting the Taliban. Does the American president mention that? No. No recognition of who the enemy actually is. No willingness to face the actual facts of reality. This is where we have to be honest. But we also have to be thoughtful. We have to figure it out. And we can't evade. We can't evade the facts of reality. That's what leadership is about. Leadership is about facing the facts, integrating them, communicating them, and laying out a plan to deal with them. And we got none of that. None of that. Yesterday from Trump's speech. Now, it was the most adult speech I've seen him give. I'll give him that. But it still was empty. It was empty. I want to see a president actually identify the enemy. I want to see a president outline a strategy for winning. 16 years since 9/11, and we still have troops all over the world. We have troops hunting, you know, in 120 countries. What do we have them there for? What are we sending troops to Afghanistan to do? To win? What does victory look like? He never said that. All I'd want, what does victory look like? He never said what victory looked like. He actually suggested that we might negotiate with the Taliban one day. How do you win it when you negotiate with the enemy? The only thing I know of war is you win when you destroy the enemy, when you bring them to their knees, when they reject their ideology. That's how we won World War II. That's why the Japanese are friends today and the Germans are friends, because they rejected the ideology. because they were crushed, defeated. Are we doing that in Afghanistan? Do we plan to do that in Afghanistan? No. If we're not going to do that in Afghanistan, bring the troops home. Why should one more American die in that godforsaken place if we're not going to win? If we're not going to protect Americans? If we're not defend America? If we're going to negotiate with the Taliban and hand it over in the end to them anyway? All right. I get angry. What can I do? All right. You're listening to Yaron Brook. This is the Mike Beck Opelka show. And we'll be back right after these messages.
Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network. You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
Okay, so the first thing we want from a president, from a leadership, from people who claim to be pro-American is the facts, is looking at the world and actually telling us what's actually going on, who the enemy really is. It needs to be identified. And then second is we need leaders who are committed to protecting us. And I like the fact, this is one of the things I liked about the speech yesterday. I like the fact that Donald Trump said, we are not going to do nation building. We're not going to fight wars for the sake of other people. But then why are we staying in Afghanistan? What is the criteria for victory? Are we investing there? Are we going to cut economic support to Afghanistan and Pakistan and many other countries that are not our friends? Are we going to actually commit to American interests? You see, but you see, nobody, even Trump, who is considered, you know, America first, nobody can actually be today America first. We live in a world dominated by a particular moral code, a moral code of altruism, a moral code of self-sacrifice, a moral code that says that you must live for others. You must live for the protection of others, for the defense of others, for the sake of the other people's well-being. And as a country, we believe that it's our job, many people believe, to protect others, to defend others, that we can't be too harsh on others. Oh, when we bomb them, we have to send them food packages at the same time. That's a reference to Bush bombing Afghanistan and dropping food packages with them. You can't be self-assertive. You can't stand up for yourself. But what we need today is self-assertiveness. We need to be able to say America first with everything that that means. And that means we will do whatever is necessary to defend America. And in Afghanistan, if being in Afghanistan is required to defend America, then we will stay in Afghanistan. But this is what we'll do. We'll crush the enemy. We will destroy them. We will kill them everywhere we find them. We will stop worrying about collateral damage, and we will protect our own people, and we will defend this country and crush its enemies. That is what I'd like to hear from a president. All right, now I'm going to skip some callers because Logan is actually the only one who wants to talk about Afghanistan right now. I'll get you to Skylar and Jonathan later. But hi, Logan, you're on the Pure Opelka show with Yaron Brook. What's up?
Hey, so I just wanted to make the point that I think that staying in Afghanistan is actually counterproductive to protecting Americans because for a couple reasons. One, it's a huge waste of money and American lives. Say a lot more American lives are lost by being over there than to just withdraw. Second thing is that most of the terrorist attacks since 9/11 are from American citizens who are radicalized because of our foreign policy. And I think that over the last 50 or 60 years, most of this jihadism is a reactionary movement to a failed foreign policy, not just by America, but by many Western nations.
Yeah, so I'm going to agree and disagree with you, mainly disagree. I agree with you that Afghanistan is particularly the way we're fighting the war over there. 2,000 Americans have died over there, almost as many as 9/11. And $1 trillion, one $1 trillion. Imagine what you could do with $1 trillion have been spent over there. And I'd say wasted over there, because we're worse off now in terms of the state of Afghanistan, in terms of a threat to the United States, than we were just after 9/11. We could have gone in there, crushed Al-Qaeda, crushed the Taliban, and left. That would have been perfect. That would have been ideal. What I reject, though, Logan, completely, and I think it's ahistorical and afactual, is the idea that people are radicalized because of what we're doing in the Middle East. This is just not true. People are radicalized because they've adopted an ideology, they've adopted a religion, they've adopted a set of beliefs that has no place for America in it, has no place for individualism in it, has no place for capitalism in it, has no place for secularism, isn't it? Has no place for couples dancing in public in it. It's an ideology that hates freedom, that hates human beings, and it seeks to destroy them. And this ideology...
You mean Islam?
It's rooted in Islam. Now, I don't claim to speak for Islam, so I'm not saying all Muslims hold this ideology, but it's a version of Islam that holds these ideas, and people have adopted these ideas. And then what they see is a weakness in the West. They truly believe they can win. They truly believe they can bring us to our knees. Now, the claim is we interfered in their countries. Now, that's nonsense. That's complete and utter garbage. If anything, we have helped the Arab world out tremendously. We have supported them over and over again throughout history. Our foreign policy is bad, and it supports terrorism only in the sense that it is weak, only in a sense that we don't actually advocate for what we believe in, only in the sense that we don't actually stand up for ourselves. It's our weakness that promotes jihadism. It's our appeasement of them that promotes their violence. It's not our intervention in their lands. Now, again, I'm not for having troops in all these places around the world. The troops should be home. We should go only where American lives and property is in danger of, is being threatened. And we should when we go, we should crush the enemy and come home. But to blame the radicalization in the Muslim world and American intervention is complete garbage. If you read the Islamists, they don't blame it on, you know, it's not about America. It's about returning to what they view as true Islam. I'm not going to argue whether they're right about true Islam or not. That's their issue. But that's the essence of what's going on here. It's not a backlash. It is them finding an ideology that they believe in and fighting for it. And it's our weakness. It's our not being willing to stand up for what we believe, for our ideas. And it's not our willing. It's a lack of willingness on our part to crush them militarily. We appease them. And appeasement only supports the evil. It supports evil and strengthens it. You're listening to the Mike Opelka Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka
on the Blaze Radio Network.
This is Yaron Brooks filling in for Mike Opelka, and I'll be here through Thursday. And we just talked about Afghanistan and the war. And let me just say something about Logan, the last caller, and about this idea that, you know, Muslims or the Islamic world hates us because of what we do. And they're just responding, and they blow themselves up because we committed the injustice, and they're just responding to that. And they're radicalized because of our actions. That is a prevalent view, and it's a prevalent view that applies not just to Muslims. It is this view that the primary motivation of people is we're kind of these like billiard balls. You hit us in one direction, and you know you one ball hits the other ball, and we go another. It's a certain level of determinism. But think about it. I mean, we've intervened in Latin America in probably inappropriate ways, and we don't have any Latin Americans blowing themselves up, killing Americans. We certainly intervened in Europe, both in World War I and World War II. I think World War One inappropriately, World War Two appropriately, given that, you know, they declared war on us, the Nazis did. But we don't have suicide bombers who are German blowing themselves up to kill Americans. We've intervened in the Philippines. We went to the whole war 100 years ago in the Philippines. I think a stupid war, a war we should have never got involved in, under the belief that Americans back then had that we were supposed to establish some kind of empire. And there are no Filipinos blowing themselves up to kill Americans. No, I mean, people are not motivated by you do something and they just respond, ping pong balls or something, or billiard balls or whatever. People are motivated by ideas. The founding fathers in this country were not just motivated by the bad stuff the king advocated for, the taxes. The founding fathers were motivated by a belief based on reason in ideas that were revolutionary at the time. The idea of the sanctity of the individual. The idea that each individual was capable of taking care of their own life because they were capable of thinking, of using their mind, of being of using their reason. They had ideas and then they acted on those ideas and they fought for those ideas. And yeah, the momentary stimulus was a king in England doing offensive things. But they would have found ultimately an excuse to do this, the founders did, because they wanted to establish a new country on the basis of a new idea. The Islamists have an old idea. An idea that God talks to them. An idea that they are God's messengers. And when people have that idea, whether it's Christians, Jews, or Muslims, they often become violent. And you can't reason with them. You can't reason with them. Because what are you going to say? No, God didn't say that. They're convinced. There's no fact in reality that you can point to that says God didn't say that. You can't point to the scripture because scripture is completely contradictory. All scriptures are contradictory. You can find whatever you want in scripture. It's just the nature of it. I mean, I grew up in a Jewish background, right, where every sentence in the Old Testament had 50 different interpretations depending on which rabbi you talk to. Indeed, 50 rabbis usually would interpret every sentence 52 different ways. So what's the right way? How do we know? What's the basis of knowledge? We can't ask God himself directly. So who gets to decide? It's not based on facts of reality. Whenever truth is achieved through revelation, then you can't discuss it. You can't argue it. You can't debate it. Reason is out. Discussion is out. Debate is out. So all you're left with is force. I can't convince you I'm right about the truth of Islam. So the only thing I can do is force you to submit to Islam. That's all that, you know, that view permits. It's all you can do. So it leads to violence. But it's the ideas, in this case, the religion, which is a set of ideas, that drive people. That drive people to commit the horrors that they commit. To fight America. It's not anything we did. It's what they believe. Now, there are lots of people out there in the world, including in the Western world, searching for meaning in life. By the way, a lot of the terrorists in Europe and in the U.S. were converts, people who converted to Islam, radicalized by the religion, and then became terrorists. They were seeking something. They were seeking a set of ideas to guide their life. And one of the great tragedies is that the West today doesn't advocate for alternative ideas, doesn't advocate For reason, for individualism, for a meaningful life, through the embrace of philosophy, of a good philosophy, of a reality-based philosophy. What we have to offer people is the leftist postmodern nihilism, where everything goes, there's no reality, you just make it up as you go along, and anything you believe can be okay, which, by the way, also leads to violence. We'll talk about that tomorrow when we talk about American campuses. And on the right, kind of a pragmatism, or an alternative religion, which is not an answer, which is not a solution. Convert to Christianity instead of Islam. Or become a pragmatist. There's still no principles, still no real ideas. Just do whatever works. Well, what works is blowing myself up because, you know, I'm trying to achieve 72 virgins or whatever. I'm trying to achieve a caliphate. Instead, what we need in this country, what the West needs desperately, what Europe needs, what America needs, is fighters for an enlightenment, is to rediscover the ideas that animated the founding fathers, rediscover the passion for reason, for science, and for individualism and individual rights. And until we discover and how those can bring meaning to one's life. The founders got it when it came to meaning in life. They put it in the Declaration of Independence. In a sense, the meaning of life is the pursuit of happiness. It's about your life. It's about the pursuit of your happiness. It's about you succeeding in life, you making the most of your own life. That's all the meaning you need. But we don't advocate for that. We don't teach that. We don't teach people to think. We don't teach reason and rationality. We undercut those. Left and right, all over the place. And as a consequence, we get people radicalized by a set of alternative ideas called Islam, you know, a particular form of Islam, call it totalitarian Islam, call it jihadism, whatever. And they're willing to blow themselves up for those ideas. People are shaped by ideas. People are motivated by ideas. And if we're going to win this war, and this is the most important thing that Trump did not mention, on the contrary, he undercut it. If we're going to win this war, we have to offer an alternative set of ideas. We have to argue about what it is we're fighting for. Are we just fighting for America because we're blind patriots? Or are we fighting for a set of ideas? Freedom, individualism, self-reliance in the most meaningful sense of the word, self-realization, the pursuit of happiness. And until we're willing to name the ideas that we're fighting for, we cannot win. And what the president should have said yesterday is, yeah, we're not going to bring you democracy. We're not going to try to change your cultures. But by the way, if you want to have a good culture, if you want to have a good country, if you want to live the good life, then adopt enlightenment values. Then adopt the ideas of the enlightenment, the ideas of individualism, the ideas of freedom. All right. You're listening to Ron Brook, fill in for Mike Opelka, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network. Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, you're listening to Ron Brook filling in for Mike Opelka, and we're about to wrap up the show. I've got a couple of callers. Let me just say this. Bad ideas, evil ideas, are only successful in the world when the good are silent, when good ideas are silent, when we do not stand up for the ideas of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, for individual rights, for the individual, for reason, then bad ideas will dominate. And that's happening overseas with the radicalization of so many of these Muslims who attack us. And it's happening in our universities with the alt-left and now the alt-right embracing evil ideas. But it's the default. It's a default of the good, of identifying the good ideas and advocating for them and shouting them and, well, not really shouting them, talking about them, explaining them, educating. That vacuum left by the good ideas is filled by evil. And that's what we're experiencing in the world today. The success of evil because of the silence of the good. And the good has been silent because it is adopted. America has adopted bad ideas. We'll talk a lot more about that tomorrow. I want to talk about the state of American universities tomorrow, why they are the hub for many of these bad ideas, why much of the state of the culture we live in today is a consequence of those bad ideas, and what is it that makes it possible for us to just be silent in the face of jihadism, in the face of alt-left, alt-right, and all the nonsense that's out there? If you even mention alt-left, the New York Times will write an article about you saying that you're full of it. All right, we have also, let me just mention this while I'm talking about tomorrow. We've also got a guest tomorrow, Alex Epstein, who's going to talk to us about Al Gore's latest movie. We're going to talk in the context of all these ideas how climate change is part of this attack on the founding principles of this country, the advocates for climate change, Al Gore and the rest of them, anti the foundational ideas of this country and why that is and how that works. And we'll, Alex is great on this. So Alex will be here at 11 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow. All right, let's take Jonathan. You're on the Yaron Brook Show. Sorry to keep you waiting so long.
Heil Hitler. He did absolutely nothing wrong.
What? All right, cut him off. I mean, really? This is what people think is, what, entertaining? They're trying to piss me off? What is exactly going on here? We've got Nazis calling in the show. Okay, let me say it one more time. Hitler is one of the most evil people in all of human history. His ideas are repugnant. The people who made Hitler possible are disgusting. And anybody today who advocates for his ideas are disgusting. These ideas are evil through and through. And you might think it's funny to say Heil Hitler, but, you know, when they come and put you in the ovens and they turn on the gas and you die slowly and in great agony, you know, that's what your ideas will lead to. So, hey, enjoy the freedom that you have in the United States to be able to say that, and you certainly have the freedom to say it, but it's sick, and it's disgusting, and I hope you have a miserable life fitting to the ideas you advocate for. All right, we've got Ed in Austin, who hopefully is not going to say something stupid like that. Go ahead, Ed.
No, Yaron, don't let the trolls get to you. Now you're doing God's work. I cannot wait to hear Alex on the show tomorrow. I actually just wanted to call and get you, hopefully, to spill the beans on any more up-and-coming future Alex Epstein's intellectuals coming out of ARI, going through the other industries and exposing these postmodern ideologies, you know, that are conceived over there, the subsidized hellhole of academia.
Sure.
What's going on over there at ARI? We got any more Alex Epstein, Don Watkins going to be going around challenging?
Well, as you know, I think, you know, Don Watkins, my co-author on Free Market Revolution and Equal is Unfair, and on a new book that's coming out next month, which I'll talk about tomorrow or Thursday. Don has gone over and joined Alex at the Center for Industrial Progress. And he will be fighting the good fight with Alex. And I'm sure, yeah, I mean, we've got Ilan Juno, we've got Steve Simpson, we've got Amanda Maxwell, we've got others at the Institute, and we're bringing in more, and we're training more, and this battle and this war will continue as we continue to advocate for good ideas. And let me just end with this. We've got less than 2 minutes. Thanks, Ed. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is an ideological battle. I started with the importance of ideas, and I'll end with the importance of ideas. Ideas shape the world. In a sense, and we'll talk about this maybe tomorrow or Thursday, it's Greek philosophy. We're still debating the ideas brought up by Greek philosophy. We're still debating the moral ideas that have been around for hundreds, thousands of years. It is these ideas that shape ultimately people's behavior and certainly shape the culture and shape history. And if we're going to defeat evil, we're going to have to come up with good ideas. The ideas I adopted, because I think they're true and that inspired me, were the ideas of Ayn Rand, as expressed in Atlas Shrugged. And for those of you who haven't read Atlas Shrugged, I encourage you to do so. For those of you who have, read it again. Think about it. Think about it. The best advice I can give you all is to think. All right, you've been listening to your Ron Brooks Show. We'll be back tomorrow and Thursday on the Mike Opelka Show.
Pure Opelka.
With Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.